I want you to turn with me. At least we're going to start, I think. Brother Bruce actually preached part of the message that I had on my mind today. And so I'm going to have to move about just a little bit. But what I've got to say this morning, I'd like to say that we could probably start in many different places in the Word of God with what I'd like to say to you. I mean, there's, a strange thing about 66 books in the Bible. You've got a lot of starting points, and there's not a whole lot of ending points. I mean, perhaps maybe you've learned that by some of the long-winded preachers, but there's just not hardly a ending place in some places. But I want you to turn with me to the book of Ezra, chapter 3, and we'll start there. I hadn't planned on starting there, but I think I will this morning. I really wanted to start over in 1 Kings, but I want to start here in the book of Ezra, chapter 3. I'm not going to title this, so this will give me the privilege of preaching all over the Bible. So just bear with me. Would you do that? I want to begin this morning in Ezra chapter 3, and I know that you know what the Bible says in verse 8. Now, in the second year of their coming into the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiah, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. I'd like you to remember some of these scriptures down through here. I want you to drop down with me to verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. They sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Now that kind of sounded like a Pentecostal meeting to me there. But I want to mention perhaps verse 12 here, and I know you've heard this preached many times, but I'd like to perhaps use it a little different today maybe than you've heard. The Bible says here, many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Now, this morning, as I've traveled some and as I've watched and listened and prayed, I've been preaching now for about 50 years, maybe a little longer. We started, wife and I, we've been married this coming December. Matter of fact, I can't even tell you the date, December the 20th. We've been married 52 years, and we've been in church, she and I have. We worked in church all that time. We had the privilege of working with our father-in-law, her father. He was a pastor for a number of years. And we worked with him and then started the work that we're at over on Shelby Street on the south side of Indianapolis. But I'd like to say a few things this morning that I feel like that'll be a help to you. I want you to understand that we are, as these brothers have been preaching so good during the day and at night. I've enjoyed every message that I've heard. We are living in the last of the last days. I mean, there's no question about that. Anybody that reads the Bible, as a matter of fact, you don't even have to read the Bible, but anybody that understands knows we're in the last of the last day. But you and I, as we go through these next few months, if the Lord tarries, and I believe that we're so close to His coming that you and I could be leaving at any time. I believe the trumpet could sound, as Paul said. So I hope you don't fall out with me over that. But I believe that we are on the verge of the return of Christ. But even though that's so, and I think that there's, quite honestly, I feel like that we as Spirit-filled people, Holy Ghost-filled people, I think that we do have a couple of problems that I'd like to kind of deal with a little bit here today to help you in the future, to help me in the future. Now, I never preached a message, but what it didn't help me as well as anybody else. Now, if it don't help me, it won't help you. I can assure you of that. But we've got two problems among us Spirit-filled folks, and I'd like to summarize it by just simply saying we've actually took our eyes off of the one that started us out. I just want to say it that simple. We've taken our eyes. Now, I know that you don't understand that phrase right now, but I want to say two or three more things that I'd like to point out that you probably won't understand. Number one, you and I, as Brother Bruce has already so well said, we are in battles. There's no question about that. Number two, but I'd like to say this. One of the problems, and we'll get back to this scripture here shortly, but one of the problems we've got is we are trying to win the war. Now let me give you a shocker here. Can I do that? Can I really give you a shocker? I'd like to say we're not going to win the war. Now, that's kind of difficult to grasp. But I'd like to say that God don't expect us to win the war. Now, let's let that settle down a little bit. I know where I'm going, I know where I've been, and I know where I'm going. Part of mine and your problem is we're trying to win the war rather than win the battle. Now, I'm one of those guys that I don't really think much about tomorrow, quite honestly. I mean, I live for today. I really do. I mean, if I lay something up today, and it's not because of old age. I've quit that excuse a long time ago. I lay something up sometimes and almost think, well, I'm through with that. I'll never need that anymore. And come tomorrow, I got to go look for what I laid up. Yeah, yeah. I live for today and not tomorrow. I forget, amen, the past. I say that almost honestly. I don't dwell on the past. I forget those things that are behind. I like to think about, amen, what God's going to do in the future. Now, we've read from you from the book of Ezra, chapter 3, a very important scripture there. And it was a very important time for the folks of Israel there. A very important time because they was getting ready to do some important things. They was getting ready, quite honestly, what they were really getting ready to do was worship God again. And in order to worship God again, they needed the temple. They needed their temple back. That was their point of reference. That was the place where they come to meet God. That was simply because that's what God told them a long time ago. And their temple, their sanctuary had been destroyed, and they felt like that God had left them. And this was the point that they could come and meet with God. And when the Lord, at the end of the captivity there, the Babylonian captivity and so on, God had already spoke to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and told him what was going to happen many years before that. And Daniel, in some of his fasting and in his praying, hallelujah, Daniel ran across that scripture. And you know what he did? He just woke up. I mean, Daniel come alive all of a sudden. Daniel had been there some 68, 69 years in Babylon at that time. And I'd like to remind you that Daniel wasn't going to go back to that place. He wasn't going to go back to his home country. He'd been taken away when he was a young man, and he'd been moved to a foreign country, to the country of Babylon. They'd even changed his name. They'd tried to change his ways and found out that they couldn't. Aren't you glad that you can't change God's people's ways? Hallelujah. Thank God. And as Daniel read this, he realized God was going to restore his people again. God was going to bring them back home again. Now, I'd like to remind all of us here today, and I'd like to encourage you, Brother Steve preached the other night, we are going, amen, to have, and we will have the opportunity to have revival. Have revival. Have revival. We will have. God's promised that. Acts chapter 2, as well as the book of Joel. Long time before you and I ever got in this, God had already intended. God had intended that there would be an end time. Amen. He intends that there will be an end time. I don't care how much you and I disagree with the end time. God fixed it where there will be an end to sin. Amen. There's going to be, hallelujah, judgment day coming, and God's going to straighten everything out and set the record right. That's the word of God. That's just as true as John 3:16. God intends it. Amen. Now, I read to you the book of Ezra, part of it. The old men saw the foundation laid. The young men, you know, can I just be simple and natural here this morning without being too in-depth and so on? But let me say that the young men probably did the work, and the old men watched. Can I say that? I think that's a fair statement, don't you? And matter of fact, I like that. I mean, what's wrong with that? I like it now. 20 years ago, I couldn't have agreed with that, but I like it now. Praise God. But I believe the older folks simply watched the younger folks work. And now I'm not going to stay on that one because, you know, the young people had grab hold of that, but I want to go on a little bit on this situation here. I believe that as the older folks watched, I believe their memory went back to what the original temple was. I believe they remembered what it was like. They saw it in its former glory, the Bible said. Now, I'm not going to say that the commentators are wrong. They say, I don't say that. They say that they wept because they didn't think the new temple was going to be as glorious as the old temple. I mean, that's what they say, and there's a little indication that that's right. But I'd like to say it another way. I believe that what the old folks, hallelujah, at least some of them saw, I believe that they saw once again a place where the glory of God could come in. Hallelujah. I believe they saw an opportunity for God to visit them one more time. Hallelujah. I believe they, hallelujah, sure they knew the glory of the former. They saw it. But thank God they understood that that was past. That was in the past. A new opportunity is coming. Could I tell you this morning that we're living in a, whether you and I agree with it and like it or not, we're living in a different different time in a due day. Amen. But hallelujah, that's not going to keep the glory of God from coming in these hours. You and I have the privilege, us old folks, we have the privilege, amen, of standing on the threshold of a mighty move of the Holy Ghost in these hours. We're standing on the very doorsteps of God doing some things in these next few months that He didn't even do in our time.
Right.
Oh, yes. Woo. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise God. He's okay there. Hallelujah. Let me tell you now, I believe that some of the older folks, as they watch our foundations being laid, I believe they had a vision. The Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. Hallelujah. Without you and I having faith in God, without us trusting God, God cannot move for us. But God will move in somebody's life. Now, I say things that sometimes are different and strange, not because I'm from, as somebody says, the North. I'm actually from Kentucky. I was born in a coal mining camp. My wife's from Indiana, Indianapolis. I had to go up there and rescue her. But you know how us men are deceived, don't you? Let me explain some of these things to you as I go along. I was raised in a Baptist church till I was about 17 years old. Good Baptist church. I think they called it Missionary Baptist. How many of you ever heard of them? They've got, you know, the Baptist folks now is like the Pentecostals. Whether we think so or not, there's so many branches of Pentecost that it's quite amazing. I mean, quite amazing. And so many different ideas in Pentecost that it's quite amazing. Well, same way of the Baptist. But anyway, I was raised in the Missionary Baptist Church, been in church all my life. But I watched the Pentecostals. They didn't call them Pentecostals in those days. They called them holiness people. That's what they called them. They didn't call, I'd never heard the word Pentecostal. Probably I got 18, 19 years old. I'd never heard, if I can take my time for a few minutes, I'd never heard of Jesus only until I was 20. Well, matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what happened as far as Jesus only. Let me go a little bit into that here in a few minutes. But 17, 18 years old, I was raised in the Missionary Baptist Church and went to a Methodist college. Now I'm a Pentecostal, so everybody ought to shout about that. You've heard of all that mixture, haven't you? But anyway, I went up in Indiana to go to work. Young man at that time, didn't know a whole lot about God. Always had a hunger for God, a desire for God. These things that I'm saying to you, I'm simply going to go back to Ezra chapter 3 now. That's why I'm saying some of these things to you. I always had a desire to serve God. I never was in any major trouble, and I'm not saying this for you to pat me on the back or for me any glory. I don't mean that. I never took a drink of alcohol in my life. That don't make me any better than the alcoholic. Please understand that now. Does not. But I'm simply telling you a little about my life and about Ezra chapter 3. Went up in there, and of course, we had a holiness church down there where I was raised at, those folks were strange people. I mean, they were strange people. We don't have too many strange people in these days. You may as well say amen. We're not strange anymore. Hallelujah. What makes us strange is the Holy Ghost moving in our lives. Nothing else but the Holy Ghost. Without Him, you and I are just like anybody else. Without the Spirit of God, Samson, amen, was just amen. But when the Spirit moved on Samson, he became a mighty man of God. I watch those folks. I mean, of course, now, in them days, my mother dressed just as good as the holiness folks. I never seen her with a pair of pants on in my life. And matter of fact, the last time I visited her at the hospital, she had a heart problem, a little bit of a heart problem. And went to the hospital, and I went in one morning there to visit with her. And went up to the second floor, and she was right by the elevator where I got off at, and her door was open. Uh-huh. And she was sitting there with her clothes all on. Fully dressed in the hospital room. Uh-huh. She hadn't been released. Doctor hadn't released her. That's just the way she was. Modest. Modest. Amen. We talk about holiness. Some of us don't even know what it is. She was dressed from head to toe in her street clothes. Hose and all. Oh, I couldn't pass that one out. I don't want to pursue that one. But anyway, I went to, we had some holiness folks and the Baptists in that coal mining camp there, and I watched those holiness folks. I knew there was something different about them. I mean, they was something different other than the way they dressed. They was something different about them. Something different about them. Sure, they dressed right, but I noticed some things about them that caught my attention. When they walked down the road, especially this one lady, she walked down the road with her head held high. Not that she was any better than anybody else. There was just something lived in her life that I could tell. There's another man in the neighborhood there, and now I'm going to be honest with you. It's the only way I can be at times. I mean, other times I'll be a little lighthearted. But and one of the other holiness fellows, I don't know how old he was that time. He was probably old, probably 38 or 40 years old. Yeah. Old, yeah, old, you know what I mean. And you know what he'd do? He'd walk down the road. Praying.
Praying. Yeah. How about that?
Praying out loud.
Praying out loud. Yeah.
Now, us Baptists didn't do that.
No.
When we went in the house of God, us Baptists sat down.
Yeah.
We went in to honor God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And our children didn't run around. Now, I've been pastoring for 50 years, so or 34 years, and helping another bunch of years, so you'll have to excuse me if I pastor a little bit here. Not because I'm wanting to pick or anything. But let me go a little further and say that when we went in the house of God, we sat down. And we didn't talk to each other. I think sometimes in the house of God, I think some of us need a little John in us. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? John the Baptist. Now, I'm not being critical.
All right.
I'm just simply telling you about my life.
Yeah.
And we wasn't used to folks talking about God hardly, and especially praying. When we prayed, or when the church there prayed, They always ask my uncle, Uncle Henry Collett, big, tall, slim guy, an older man at that time, and he was older. And I'll never forget, he'd stand up where he was at and put his hands on the back of the old wooden pew there. And he'd begin to pray, and when he'd pray, it seemed like heaven would come right down. Come right down. But I've thought so many times, as I've heard him praying, I can still almost hear him in my mind praying. They'd request prayer for the sick like we do here. And I remember him saying, Lord, be with them in their suffering.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, I'm not being critical, but I never heard him say, Lord, heal them.
All right.
Never heard him say that.
Yes.
Never heard them talk about the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
I asked my teacher one time when I was probably 10, 11 years old. I said, what does the Bible mean when it says blaspheming the Holy Ghost? She looked at me and said, Wayne, said, you're too young. You don't need to know about that. I don't blame her for telling me that. If you don't know much about something, you're better off not say it. I wanted to quote a couple of things to you this morning that I'll pass on to you, but Brother Bridges kind of put me on a spot here by asking me to preach. Many years ago, I learned two things. Number one, had a fella tell me, said, Wayne, you may not, he wasn't talking to me directly, but he was making a statement. He said, we may not know too much, may not be too smart, but he said, if we'll keep our mouth shut, we'll fool a lot of people. Now, that's wise counsel. And I've also learned another thing that and neither one of these things you can apply to preachers, because you just got to pray for them. But another thing I've learned they tell me is if they don't ask you for advice, don't give it. Don't give it. Well, you can't get up here and keep those two commandments. I mean, you just got to give advice whether they want it or not. I'm talking about this advice. And you've got to open your mouth whether you fool them or not. You've got to still tell them. I want you to know this morning that when those men saw the foundation being laid, they began to rejoice. The young and the old together began to rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank God. As I went to North Indiana, I went up there by myself. I've got a twin brother. I did have at that time. He's gone now. But he come up a little after I did. Had two or three friends there. We lived in an apartment house. Rented a place. I rented from a holiness woman. I mean, eat breakfast down at her table every morning and supper at night, you know, working and making a whole lot of money back in 1954. I mean, a whole lot of money. Making so much that I couldn't even afford hardly a car. Had to buy it on payment. But anyway, I got to, since I didn't like the things of the world, I didn't care a whole lot about some of the things that other folks was doing. Me, a young man at that time, I only been in a tavern one time in my life, and that was going there to cash a check when I was a young fella, first started working. And I went in to cash a check, and when I went in there, I felt totally out of place, number one. And number two, when I went in there, I couldn't hardly see what was going on. There was so much smoke in that place, and the lights were so dim that I couldn't hardly tell where I was supposed to go to try to get some money out of that check I had. And I was kind of afraid some of them guys fall off them stools and I trip over them or something. And I'm not being critical of that. I'm just telling you my own experience. But I kept fooling around with the Pentecostals, the holiness folks. And they began to invite me to go to church. And as I'd go to church, and I want to bring these things out that you might know how that we win folk. I went to the house of God and sat in the back of the church. And that preacher, every time he preached when I was there, he preached, I was lost. Lost. Amen. Lost every time I was there. Oh, well, ain't there nobody else here but me? Under conviction. Miserable. I don't see how Brother Bruce felt any worse with that 1,000 pounds of sin on him than I felt me miserable. Conviction's good for you. Conviction, amen, will help you out. Hallelujah. That's what we need in the house of God. We need more conviction in this hour. Some of us Christian folks ought to get under conviction in these times. We ought to realize, amen, that it's time to quit playing and go to work for God. I got under conviction. They'd preach, I don't know, they'd really lay it out. I was going to be lost and go to hell. And I believed them. I believed them. And I still believe them. I've often said I didn't get saved because I loved God. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I'm honest with you. And when I come to an altar to pray, then I found the love of God. Finally, one night, I couldn't wait any longer. I got out of that back pew and started towards the altar. Went and bowed to the altar that night. And as I bowed there, I began to pray and I began to ask God. I said, Lord, if you'll save me, if you'll save me, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. And you know what? I had much more than said that. And I didn't know a thing about the Spirit of God. I didn't know a thing about the voice of God. All I knew about was John 3:16. I'd been raised in church, and I'd won plaques for Bible verses and all that stuff. But I didn't know a thing about the Spirit of God. But as I prayed that night, said, Lord, I'll go, I'll do, I'll say. And I say, as I said that, the Spirit of God, for the first time, spoke to my heart. You know what he said to me, Brother Smith? He said, I've already saved you. You know what he meant by that? At that time, amen, 1900 years ago on Calvary's cross, he paid my price. All I needed was John 3:16 that night. Hallelujah, I laid hold of that. I declared, hallelujah, that God had saved me. There was a change come in my life. Old things passed away. The weight lifted from my heart. And I became a new creature that night. Well, I thought things were going to be all right. All them brothers, they treated me like these brothers around here have. They treated me so nice. Next night I went to church, and I may be wrong, but I don't think for the next year they preached anything about being lost. You know what? I believe they started preaching, and I know they did. You know what they started preaching that we don't preach? They said you need the Holy Ghost, amen, in your life. You need, hallelujah, to get closer to God. Well, I thought after I prayed that night I'd be all right. And here they declared that I need the Holy Ghost, need to be sanctified. Instead of crankified, I needed to be sanctified. Thank God. And for the next many months, they preached every time I'd come to church, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. I don't know what happened to all them other messages. God knew what I needed. I'd get in that altar. And I'd pray. We had a big old boy from Tennessee there. Last name was Hobbs, H-O-B-B-S. I'd get in that altar, just a young man. Always tried to dress nice. In those days, you'd wear those pants that had those creases in them. I mean, you know, you'd wear a shirt with some starch in it and all that stuff. Boy, I'm glad we don't have to do that now. Anyway, I'd get in that altar, and as soon as I'd hit that altar, I was wanting the Holy Ghost, and as soon as I hit that altar, them big fellas would get around me. I wasn't very big. I had probably 140 pounds or something at that time, maybe. Don't ask the wife, because she'd tell you exactly. Just a slim guy, and I'd get in that altar, and that big old Tennessee boy, he was a big man. See what I mean? He was a big man. I'd get bound right at that altar. I'd get bound. He's bigger than Brother Bridges. I'll get him off the hook. I'd get around that altar, and he'd come over and get right on me. I mean, get right on me. And them other guys would get around me, and they'd go to hollering and snorting and carrying on and praying that I'd feel the Holy Ghost, and they'd get to sweating, and he'd run that big wet hand right down my pant legs. Take that nice crease out. That time I had nice. Am I supposed to quit? What time is it? I better quit.
You preach. Go ahead.
I had nice, thick, black hair at that time. Oh, them guys, they'd get around me, and I was almost afraid to get prayed for. I mean, they'd lay hands on your head in spite of everything. And they'd mess that nice hair up. Hallelujah. Hey, what if you're not careful? Pride will keep you away from God. Pride will keep you, amen, away from the good things of God. Hallelujah. God knows what you and I need if we'll just have an open heart. They'd get to praying for me for the Holy Ghost, and it wasn't 5 minutes, it wasn't 10 minutes. They wouldn't even let me up. They kept me down there. Hallelujah. Regardless of what happened, it didn't matter whether they singing or not singing. They kept me in an altar. And finally one night, God, hallelujah, come on the scene. I don't know how many months I'd prayed for the Holy Ghost. I finally got used to them guys praying for me. I mean, I finally got glad of it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Back in them days, folks usually, and I told a young man the other day, may as well tell you, times have not been changed too much in the church. Some folks complain because you leave at 9 o'clock at night, or people leave at 9 o'clock at night. Well, 40 years ago, they left at 9 o'clock at night. 30 years ago, they left at 9 o'clock at night. But listen, there was a second shift waiting. I mean, there was a second shift waiting. It didn't matter whether it was 9 o'clock or not. When I was in that altar, they kept me in there 10, 11 o'clock at night. Hallelujah, praying for the Holy Ghost. I'd pray at home for the Holy Ghost. I'd pray in the bathroom for the Holy Ghost. I'd pray in the kitchen for the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. It was worth waiting on. It was worth getting. Hallelujah. Anything that'll bring the Spirit of God is worth having. And finally, one night, I made up my mind. Lord, if I don't get the Holy Ghost tonight, I ain't a praying for it no more. Just excuse that English, would you? Made up my mind, Lord, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost tonight, I'm just going to quit asking for it. I'd prayed for 3 or 4 months for it, and I was wearing everybody out. I mean that. I mean, hey, I'd stay in that altar, and they'd stay there with me. And them guys was working God just like you folks. And we had church 6, 7 days a week, one revival right after another one. I'd get in there every night, hallelujah, and they'd stay with me every night. And I'm kind of self-conscious about some things, so I said, Lord, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost now, I'm not going to ask for it anymore. I prayed that night as hard as I could. Promised the Lord everything I know to promise Him.
All right.
I'd already give up everything I know to give up.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when I was in the Baptist church, the Lord saved me just a young man. I come home that day or that night, whatever it was. My dad wasn't saved. I went in the house and I said, Dad, I got saved.
Uh-huh.
Got saved.
Yeah.
I said, I can't go to the movie anymore.
All right.
Won't go anymore to the movie.
There you go.
Dad looked at me and laid his hand on me and said to me, son, said, that's the way you feel. Go right ahead and do it. He got saved afterward, but when I got saved, amen, I got saved. Hallelujah. It don't make no difference where you are. When you get saved, hallelujah. I got away from God after that and got to fooling around with a Pentecostal holiness people. What we need is in this hour some holiness folks out in, thank God, the marketplace, out in the working place, hallelujah, being a light to the lost, thank God, and inviting them in. Let me interject this real quick. And I know it don't sound, you know, like it should, but I've probably won as many folks, and I've been preaching on the radio. I preached on the radio for 30 years or longer, and I don't know, preached all kind of different places and so on, but I've probably won just as many folks outside the church as I have in the church. I mean, we've got this mentality, Brother Head, that you've got to get them in church to get them saved. Well, I'll tell you what you got to do. You got to be a light to them outside the church before they'll ever come in the church. And if you be a light outside the church, they'll come to church. If you act right outside the house of God, if you act right on your job, if you act right in the grocery store, if you act right where you are, they'll know you're different. Anyway, I prayed, God, fill me that night. I stood up. I said, Lord, I'm not going to pray anymore. Quit for the Holy Ghost. I hadn't planned on quit going to church, quit serving God. I just, you know how some folks are when they seek for the Holy Ghost. They finally give up. They're not careful. Well, I'd reached that point. I just stood up and said, Lord, this is it. And about the time I did that, I raised my, and oh, that good Holy Ghost come from heaven. That good Holy Ghost fell from heaven. Hallelujah. And as I began to experience that from that night forward to this, could I tell you, amen, that this house here is far greater than that other house was that I come from. Hallelujah. Could I tell you that what God's got today is far more glorious? Hallelujah. And if you don't mind my saying it this way, than He had years ago, and I don't mean it just like that, but for mine and your benefit, God is a glorious God that still has the same joy today that He had when you got saved. Still has the same God, amen, the same Spirit this morning that He had 30, 40, 50 years ago. Not changed. Now, God wants to, and I don't like to use this word, but it's our fault. God wants to restore some of these things that are missing. He really does. He honestly does. You say, well, it's not missing in my life. Well, I'm going to leave that one alone. But I'm going to tell you, God wants to do the same thing. Now, when I got into this and began to, after I received the Holy Ghost, I began to go to all, of course I did before that, but I began to go to all the revivals I could go to. In the city there in Indianapolis, we had the big boys come in. And at that time, maybe I shouldn't say it this way, but at that time they were good boys. I mean, they had the genuine. They'd come in, stretch their tents in some of them neighborhoods on the edge of the city and have large crowds come. And I'd have the privilege of going and watching and seeing what God did. Yeah. Hallelujah. I've watched Oral Roberts lay hands on folks. Watched, amen, some of the men of God that believed in healing. Watched them sit in a chair or stand up, amen, hallelujah, and lay hands on folks and anoint them and the Spirit of God move on them and heal them. Hallelujah. Heal them. How many of you still believe in healing? Hallelujah. Still know that God can heal. Still know that God will heal. Thank God. Thank God. Well, I need to preach on that, but I won't. I watched God heal. Oh, you don't know what that does to a dry soul. I tell folks that I'm privileged to not be born into the move of the Spirit of God. I was privileged to be born in the Baptist and then got acquainted with the Spirit of God. Yeah. I mean, it's real to me. Now, let me save this. I'm going to try to close here. Lord, I haven't been watching Carol, so I guess I better look at her and get ready to close. She's my watch. But anyway, God wants to do those same things again. He wants to make this present house.
Yes, sir, this present house.
This present house.
This present
house. This present one. This one that we're in. Amen. This one, hallelujah, that we're in today. He wants to make it just as glorious as it was when you folks got saved 40, 50, 60 years ago. Hallelujah. Thank God he wants us to begin, amen, to trust him again. You know what? We use the word faith so much that we forgot what trust means. Trust. We don't anticipate anymore. Can I give you a little example before I close? Oh, 3 years ago, and some of you brothers and sisters can understand this. 3 years ago, a little over, we become great grandparents. We got a little 3-year-old daughter, great granddaughter, and now we've got a little 1-year-old great grandson. Now I said this. Now here I am, at that time 70 years old, and I've seen so much in life that life become common to me. You understand what I'm saying? Every day, sun's going to come up. Every day, the sun's going to go down. Every day, I got to take my vitamins. Every day, I got to clean my glasses off. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Common things. Drive down the road and don't even see what's beside the road. Common thing. I've been at it so many years and traveled so many miles, don't even notice anything anymore. I might even go through a town and I not hardly even remember stopping at the last red light. And I do stop at them when I see them. Common things. We come to the house of God. Common. Time to start church. Time to sing. Time to take an offering. Time to pray. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Time to preach. Common thing. Oh, Brother Steve going to preach tonight. Common thing. Brother Head's going to preach this morning. Common thing. If we're not careful, common things will cause us to let them slide by. Now, back to my little fellas. We've got and I like to use this as an illustration. We've got a little old footstool there in the house. Just a little old footstool. You know what a footstool for? All the footstool for is to put your feet on. You know, that's all the footstool for. How many of you know that? But you know that little 1-year-old fellow didn't know that. You know that one-year-old little fellow come in there and he'll get up on top of that footstool and he'll roll that footstool over and he'll push that footstool around and he'll carry it around. It's untelling what that little fella sees in that common footstool. When he comes in, all of a sudden I wake up and I go looking for things on the floor that he might get a hold of that I hadn't even thought about looking for before. I mean, Carol, she's not so bad about it, but we've got a little wind chime there, and I never even noticed the wind chime. Do you? A common thing, yeah. Used to it. And he'll go over and play with that little wind chime. We'll all get nervous, you know. He's going to do something with it. But he sees something in that. What you and I need to do is realize there's something in this latter house that you and I, amen, need to take time, hallelujah, to start noticing in this hour that we're in. Hallelujah. It's not just Brother Neil Bridges, same old Brother Bridges. It's not just Brother Head, same Brother Head. It's the Spirit of God. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Here I quit. Woo. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I've been in this a long time, and it gets more exciting all the time. Hey, man, you can dry up and die and go if you want to. Woo! But I want to enjoy the blessings of God. I want to enjoy the Spirit of God. I want to see God move again. I want to see the Holy Ghost move again. I want to see life in our midst. Life. Ooh, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let's all stand here. Hallelujah.